This is Renegade Broadcasting.
What's up, everybody? This is Seth the Nemesis. I'm filling in for the wild card tonight. Just thought I'd give you a little rundown of the pro perspective. We got a bunch of different stuff going on. As I look through the news here, we have more when it comes to Russia and their involvement in Syria, getting rid of the bad guys that we trained and funded. Also, we got Trump making some pretty great statements. I don't know if we can hold him to his word. He's saying, ban all Muslim travel to the U.S. Yeah, I mean, that would be great on paper and in theory there, Trump. But, yeah, make it happen. That's a whole different story. If anybody wants to call in, you're more than welcome. Please do, because, you know, this is my first time on the air tonight. And, you know, the more the merrier, more people involved, the better it's going to be. So, yeah, there's a couple different things. I think it's just really funny when it comes to white genocide. Not funny in the sense of all white genocide, but funny when you try to explain white genocide to the average white person. Because they're under this impression, you know, as long as they can continue the phenomenon of white flight and go into their little communities and self-segregate and, you know, not read the news and not read what's going on or watch what's going on in our homeland or where our genetics originate from in Europe, then they have the illusion that everything's all right because they still got the football game and the hockey game and everything else that comes along with it, which is kind of unfortunate because it really makes me think that there is some white people out there that just are never going to snap out of it. And it's quite sad, to be honest, but it is what it is. And I guess we'll have to see. I mean, some people say it'll take a tragedy to wake some people up. I hope that's not the case. I mean, it's just so horrible to see some of these, you know, Swedish and German women get victimized. And after it happens, they're like, oh, it's okay. It's fine. He doesn't understand my culture. I'm going to go home and put on a burqa right now. It's like, what? How did this happen? How did this happen to our women? When did they, you know, get to this point where they're like literally cheering on this invasion? When you use the word invasion to a normal white person, they're just like, it doesn't register in their brain. They're like, you mean the migrants? Like, yeah, the migrants, the young men of fighting age that are coming into our homeland where our ancestors originate from, where our genetics originate from. They're like, yeah, they just are looking for a better place to live. No, they're not. Maybe they're looking for welfare and free housing, but they're looking to take this land over. They want to steal it from us. I mean, there's lots of recordings on YouTube and different, whatever you'd call them. I don't know. It's like equivalent to like the priest, but it's for their culture. It's like, I don't know if you'd call them a fucking prophet or what you'd call them, but it's like the equivalent, and our media and our politicians are saying Islam is a religion of peace, and they're openly saying, like, no, it's not. Like, they're in our countries, you know, causing all these problems, and at the same time, our politicians are saying, don't worry about it, don't be Islamophobic, Islam is a religion of peace, and at the same time, these people that are here are saying, the Muslims are saying, no, it's not a religion of peace. So, I mean, I take it right from the dog's mouth or the cat's mouth that they don't plan on having peace here. They plan on doing a caliphate and a jihad. And I just seen photos today of in Dearborn, Michigan. I shit you not, Dearborn, Michigan. We know how bad it is there, but they were flying ISIS flags, marching in the streets. I mean, like, at what point is it going to take for Whitey to snap out of it and say, okay, we're going to have a discussion today, guys. We're going to have to do something. Because what's going on is just, it's unacceptable, you know? And I don't know what to do. I don't know really how to fix the situation because white people, their ideological narrative of how they're going to live their life they're not concerned in their preservation of themselves, because most white people don't even identify as white. I mean, they don't even really think like that. And if you start to bring up the idea of preservation or the idea of being a white race, a European race, it just starts red flagging in their head as racist because of this Zionist education system that we all grew up in. It's pathetic. It really makes me sick to my stomach. And as Islamophobic as I sound right now, I mean, we have to be careful because, I mean, they're setting us up for something. Whatever that is, I don't know. But it's the classic divide and conquer strategy, right? So what they do is they, you know, like, for instance, this latest event, you know, this guy who, you know, went on the last shooting rampage at a health, whatever, mental health facility. And, you know, they're like, oh, he might have done it because of Christmas and Christmas trees. It's like, you guys might not want to celebrate Christmas anymore. It's like, yeah. Are you fucking serious? Like, you're going to tell me to not celebrate Christmas, right? Like, that's insane, right? And, of course, every normal red-blooded human being is going to be infuriated. Well, European, Christian, or pagan, or whatever. I mean, you all celebrate Christmas. I mean, you must be living under a rock if you don't celebrate. If you're a white person, you don't celebrate Christmas. But, you know, they're telling us, like, I think they said in Washington, after 33 years of celebrating Christmas in Washington, we decided to cancel it. Did you catch that? After 33 years? Like, we've never heard that fucking number before. But anyway, so, yeah, there's this thing in the news here about Trump. Ban all Muslim travel to the U.S. Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump called Monday for barring all Muslims from entering the United States. Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States. So, like, once again, that's a great idea there, Trump. But we all know who is usual and who you Trump is going to be some, you know, amazing savior. He's going to rescue the white race. Pretty bad. I'm going to try switching over to Skype here, guys. One second. Give me a second here. Just trying to figure out how to do this. Dum, dum, dum. I don't see where the... don't want to click end episode. Apparently, I'm breaking up pretty bad, guys. I'm not sure how to connect through some. I haven't really used this program too many times before. All right, hopefully I'm back. I'm just going to double check with... I call back in through my Skype. I'm just... All I can hear is the news. Connection and one second. I'll see what happens. I had a new opened up in the background, guys, so all it was. it's funny. All right, so hopefully you guys can hear me clear now. I'm just going to double check with Kyle, see if he can hear me. Is that clear, buddy? Yeah, I don't know. It might be my internet connection. I mean, I don't have. Keeping open in the background, but I don't. All right, guys, well, I'm just going to continue doing this. I mean, could be my mic. I don't know. I could try switching mics here. Not too sure. But anyways, I was talking about Trump. and basically I might try using, no, you know what, I'm not going to try using my because it's costing me a fortune, but I'm just trying to think here. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just going to continue to do what I was doing. He's saying it's chopped. I guess I could try switching mics here quickly. I don't know if that's better, but that might change it. Anyway, so I was talking about Trump and how he's, you know, claiming that he's going to do all these great things, and theoretically that would be great, but I don't think that's the case. Unfortunately, you really can't trust these politicians. It doesn't really matter how good they claim. They don't hold any water when they get elected. They don't do anything that they're supposed to do. So I find it frustrating because, you know, I want to root for some great savior. I want to root for some elected official that's going to do something, but you know, they just don't. And same with Putin. I mean, you got Putin where he's supposedly going to be doing all these things, and he doesn't end up doing any of, well, I mean, no, I guess that's not really a way to put it. Putin essentially, he's doing what we were supposed to be doing, what the Americans are supposed to be doing. You know, like, we know the Americans are training ISIS and that they're, you know, funding them and dropping weapons to, now we have the Russians going in and bombing them. And so it seems like Putin's this great, but at the same time, I mean, if you own both sides of the war, then you really profit from the destruction in the middle. And that's what I would assume this is, you know, this is what's happening. We're essentially fighting a war for the you-know-whos. And Putin is playing one side of the chessboard, and the Americans are playing the other side. And then we got a bunch of other countries like NATO that are all involved. They're different pawns and pieces in the chessboard. And so it's really hard to say, I mean, what's going to happen. I don't know if people say that Putin went rogue and that he's not involved with the New World Order anymore. I mean, I don't know if that's true, if he's defected, but in theory, that I guess that could happen. I mean, these plans that have been going on seems like they've been around for hundreds and hundreds of years, because what they've predicted and written in their own journals, these elitists, these Jewish bloodlines, they, you know, essentially have predicted it accurately right up to this day of what's taking place. So, I mean, to think that all of a sudden we're going to have, and I don't mean to be a negative Nancy, but to think that, you know, someone is going to all of a sudden come in and change things now is highly unlikely. But let's hope for the best, and like a lot of people are saying, which it's true, Trump is really our last hope. So I don't know who else to really root for. Yeah, I'm trying to think what else is in the news here. The U.S. military alleged Monday that Russian warplanes were responsible for an attack on Syrian army position in eastern Syria. Yeah, so now they're just out in the open. They're just blatantly doing this. They don't even care anymore. They're just going to go ahead and they're going to just bomb the Syrian infrastructure, the Syrian military, and they're going to say, yeah, so what? So what, we told you we were funding, and or so what, we told you we were fighting ISIS, but this whole time actually we were funding them. Like, so what? We lied to you the whole time. I mean, did you guys see this speech that Obama had yesterday? I mean, it was insane. Like, he's just looking at people straight in the face and lying to them. He's like, I don't know how he can do that and get away with it. It's pretty amazing feat that he does. But, I wish that there was someone that could come along and really make political changes. I mean... That's why everyone's so happy to see Trump, because it's just so weird to see someone that is... Oh, someone's calling in. I'm going to go... Hello?
Hello?
Hey, how's it going?
I just tuned in to your show. What are you talking about?
Oh, I was talking about Trump. I don't know. Can you hear me okay? I'm just curious. People were saying I was breaking up. So I end up trying to...
Oh, no, you sound... Who am I talking to?
You're talking to Set the Nemesis. I'm filling in on the wild card tonight.
Oh, okay. So you're talking about Trump, Donald Trump?
Yeah. What's your opinion on him? Is he the great man that
I don't
he
know.
Pretends to be?
No. I don't think he's any good. I mean, he seems to be all for Israel and everything like that. And, I mean, he's just another puppet for the Zionists. I don't think in the way the system is set up, it'd be even possible for somebody to get elected who is really, for the people, because if they did, like, for example, Ron Paul, I sort of liked him a little bit. I'm not a libertarian, but he did have a few good ideas. But you see, the media didn't give him any attention. That's the whole thing. You have to have media attention in order to get anywhere. And then the people are so brainwashed in this country.
It's brutal.
So that's the thing. I think the last president that we had that was any good was John F. Kennedy. Of course, he got assassinated by the CIA and the Mossad and the Mafia because, you see, he went against the establishment. He wanted to pull out of Vietnam. He didn't want Israel to have the bomb, and he wanted to dismantle the CIA. So
yeah.
I think ever since Kennedy, I think every single – I think that was really a coup d'etat, Now,
it
I'm
really
73
was.
Years old.
So he was even saying some things in his speeches. I think he was hinting at things. I mean, he was obviously worried that something was going to happen. Well, it was way before my time. But what I can tell you from, or what I know from studying it, it sure seems like in his speeches that he was warning of something. And he was essentially speaking in code because I think he was worried that they were going to come after him. And they did. And it just proves that if you do the right thing and you're a good-hearted human being, who loves humanity and wants the best for everybody, they will kill you.
Exactly. See, that's the way it was with Kennedy. I mean, I think he meant well, but once he got into office, I think he realized that the presidency is just nothing but a figurehead, and the president really doesn't have any actual power. You see, it's the Jews that have all the power in this country and have for a long time. I don't know. See, I don't know what the solution is, but I think that we're going to have to create something altogether new. I mean, people talk about, we got to get back to the Constitution, but I don't think you can't go backwards. I mean, for one thing, this whole country was based on a false premises, I think, like the ideals of the French Revolution, this whole idea of equality and egalitarianism.
Well,
yeah,
I always say that I'm not sure that we can use the existing political system. I mean, they've had so many the Jews have so many Trojan horses and viruses installed into this political system that I don't think it's even possible to use. That's why a lot of people talk about the Germans in World War II and how good morals essentially trump law. And that, if we just come to an understanding as white people, an understanding, like a collective consciousness, that, we might be able to break away in some sense. But I think if that starts to happen, they will pull this financial system apart and we will be coming at each other, overnight, for food and
that's
whatever.
It.
But it's hard to say.
Well, you see, I think the problem is in the United States, you have I don't know if there's any really, really white solidarity because you have white people coming to America from all over the world, from Western Europe, Eastern Europe, and there never has been any. See, what you need is not only you need a folkish consciousness, and we have never been able to develop, I think, in the United States, a folkish consciousness like they had
in
Germany.
It's been demonized. I think that's been done on purpose, right? With these Zionist education systems that we're all brought up into. That's the whole point of World War II and essentially, teaching white children that, they're the reason for all the world's problems and that we essentially have no culture. And the only culture that we can really identify is supposedly, obviously it's not true, but, these horrible, evil Germans that, did all these horrible things. But we know now because of World War II revisionism that wasn't the case, They're essentially doing what we need to do now, and that's just have some kind
right.
of nationality.
Well, you see, that's of course we know this whole Holocaust story was a lie, and I think that's one of the main things we have to get somehow break that spell, that Holocaust spell, because so many people I mean, I talked to a lot of people, you know, about National Socialism in Germany. Of course, they can't. That Holocaust thing seems to be the biggest barrier. Of course, I mean, we know there's no truth to it. Probably there was maybe about 300,000 Jews that died of all causes during in the camps, you know. But this whole thing about
People. I mean, so for people who try to pretend like, you know, nothing happened whatsoever. I mean, that's pretty. I mean, like, obviously people died, right? Like, we had internment camps in America. We put the Japanese in internment camps, you know, and it was essentially the same thing. When Judea declared a war on Germany, you know, we put them into camps, and essentially they died because of, you know, when the Allies were bombing Germany from all fronts and we weren't able to even feed ourselves, that they died, you know, as prisoners of war.
Look at Eisenhower's death camps after the war. How many was there? A million Germans, POWs died. And you never hear about that, you know. I mean, so, and of course, we know, too, like, you know, Pearl Harbor, we know Roosevelt knew about the Japanese were going to attack Pearl. He deliberately
Egged
them
on
because he wanted
to
get into war with Germany. Yeah.
Yeah, after World War One, that, you know, no one wanted to send their kids to war, and that's what they do. They stir up the patrioticness, and that's what I'm afraid of now. Just like you were referring to Pearl Harbor, you know, like they allowed that to happen, and then the Americans were like, "Let's go," and they went into the Second World War, and that's what I'm afraid of now. Just like they did in 9/11, you know, I remember right after 9/11, everyone was like, you know, F those Muslims, and they were just, you know, ready to kill everybody. They were ready to nuke the Middle East, and it's.
Right.
You know, that's
it.
They'll pull something again, and you know, Americans will be ready to go to war. I got a couple more callers here, so I'm going to give you a couple more minutes. But what's your opinion on Putin?
I like Putin. I mean, he's not perfect, you know, but I mean, he's the only leader we have now, I think, that has any balls. I mean, he will stand up to the. To the Zionists. Yeah, I mean, he goes to Israel and all, but I mean, I think the bottom line is he knows all about the Jews. He's just not saying anything. He has to be careful, okay? Someone said that his grandfather fought for the, National Socialist Army or something. In other words, that's what I heard. I don't know for sure. But I think that Putin is standing up against the, you know, the Jew world order. And I think that I think the bottom line is that we are in a war now, okay? It's really Armageddon. It's being fought on the spiritual as well as the material, and it's between the force of darkness and the force of light. And I think America is in Israel, or the belly, that this is the evil empire, America and Israel. Russia, China, some of these other countries have a much better, and I think the whole thing in a nutshell is we have to create a non-usury-based economy. This is important because usury, that's why all these wars are fought, and because they're so profitable to the money power, you see.
Well, that's what I was trying to explain to people earlier. You know, when I think of Putin, I honestly kind of view it as like a geopolitical chess match where you have these Zionists, you know, on both sides of the chessboard, and, you know, they're essentially able to make it look like there's the good cop, bad cop, or good country, bad country, but it's just they're profiting, and at the same time, Whitey, the European bloodlines and whatever's left of the Caucasian race is literally taking the blunt of the war. It's just horrible. And then now, like, if who would have thought that this is what they were going to do after 9/11? They were going to convince us to go into a Middle Eastern war, kill all these, you know, people, a lot of them innocent, to stabilize all these Middle Eastern people, and then they're going to end up flooding them right into Europe. I mean,
yeah. Well, of course, we know 9/11 was a false flag op. It was the CIA and the Mossad that did 9/11 because after the collapse of the Soviet Union, the military-industrial complex needed a new enemy. Well, just like right after World War II, Harry Truman started the Cold War with Russia because, you know, we had to have those factories going, you know. So that was phony. The whole Cold War was phony. I was in Vietnam, and I got Agent Orange poisoning, you know. And I believed all that garbage about, Ho Chi Minh is going to take over the world, and they're going to come to San Francisco and all this bullshit.
Well, that's what
know?
They need, but, right? I mean, every good war can't be, like, a war can't be fought without a good story. And that's what I think about right now when you think about Ukraine, right? Essentially, we had George Soros fund these, neo-Nazis, which they're not neo-Nazis. You can call them whatever they are. They're idiots, these guys. And they overthrew, it's not real nationalism. I'm sure there was some good nationalism in there, but essentially they took a very bad part of nationalism and they used it to overthrow the Yanukovych government. And then now we have a civil war in Ukraine, and it's like we have brothers. Slavic brothers that are so, their genetics is so similar, and they're killing each other. Yeah. For what? For what?
For what? Now, Seth, I got a question for you, okay?
Yeah,
now,
sure.
These people, they're calling these Ukrainians, Nazis and fascists. But, I mean, if they really were, they would not be allied against the Soviet. They would be pan-Slavic. If anything, they wouldn't be narrow Ukrainian nationalists. This is ridiculous. That's not National Socialism. I don't know what it, see, not only that, if they were real National Socialists, they would not have a United States as an ally. See? So I hear all the time, the fascists in Ukraine and the Nazis. And the Russians have bought into this, too. I don't understand it. I really don't. Maybe you can enlighten me.
Again, it's brainwashing and divide and conquer at its simplest form. And I mean, until we understand that we are putting ourselves up for Jewish interests, for Zionist interests. And the thing is you in a lot of countries, people can't even talk about this. You'll go to jail if you talk about it. And I mean, that's the only, like, I don't know who's the famous person that said, you know, if you want to find out who controls you, find out who you can't talk about.
Who
you
can't criticize. That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
And it's
you see.
Like, and it's really the, and then I think, you know, the weaponization of the food and the water supply, and then, you know, you have the propaganda, the Zionist education system, and you have people growing up in this, and they literally cannot defend themselves. They don't mentally, physically, they can't, they don't know what's going on. They get totally indoctrinated with the media and everything else that comes along with it. It's just, it's really a sad sight to see.
Well, it is, but you see, they're losing their power, Seth. The Jews are losing their grip, okay? And we are really advanced. And see, with the internet now, people are waking up. More and more people all the time are waking up. So I am very optimistic about the future. I really am. I'm not a pessimist at all. I think things are going to get better. I mean, I'm 73 years old, and the world is getting better. It's better than it was when I was young. I mean, in spite of everything, I mean, there's, you know, but I do really think that in another 10-20 years, you know, this world will be so much so better you won't even recognize. I mean, it's going to be a wonderful place. You know,
really, you truly believe that? I'm a lot more pessimistic than that. I really think that they're going to start pulling out pins out of this financial system, and they're going to turn everything upside down, and we're going to be begging for a solution. You know, I mean, think about, like, I mean, once again, I'm openly admitting that I'm being pessimistic, but I'm saying, if you think about our how everything's interconnected and intertwined, how readily available everything is in the grocery stores, and how we rely on gasoline and everything like that. I mean, all they would have to do is pull a couple pins out of the system, and people would be begging for a solution, especially in these multicultural, you know, hellholes that they have all over the place, these massive urban cities. I mean, once the supply routes are broken, I mean, these people will literally be eating each other. But what I do think, what I am optimistic about is the reason why I still don't think that they would do that is because they have more to lose by like, you know what I mean? They're going to lose too.
Well, I mean, here's what we know that Hitler, you know, got German the economy moving again. He that's why they had to destroy Hitler. Churchill said, I think in 1935, we have to destroy this man Hitler because he's got an economic system that really works. So the bottom line is now, Hitler said National Socialism is not for export. I mean, he was a nationalist. Now, could we the ideas of Hitler, could we turn those around on an international base? In other words, international National Socialism. We could use a barter system and a system based on the productivity of the Aryan working class and make it international rather than national. Now would this be feasible, do you think?
That, to me, it's funny you say that. I mean, I could in theory, I mean, that would work. And especially with these cryptocurrencies, I mean, when we break away from the Rothschild banking system, in theory, this could all work. And that's why I think that they're so scared of, you know, us breaking away from the system. I mean, it's up for speculation. I mean, like I said, I'm very pessimistic. I think that, you know, they're doing things right now at an unprecedented rate, and it just makes me think of what's really in store for us in the future. It's hard to say. I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe things are going to get a lot better, and we're going to take back control of what's rightfully ours, and, you know, white people will increase their birth rate, and, you know, so on and so forth.
You know, Putin is actually increasing the Russian birth rate. There's actually, I think the average Russian woman has maybe 2 or 3 babies now. So that's a good thing. So Russia, and I think that the future lies in Eurasia, you know, like Putin's idea of the Eurasian Union. Now, even China, you see, now China has a system where, like in Africa, where they will get the finished goods, industrial goods, and then they'll get Africa's natural resources, so that's sort of like the barter system. You see, they go in there and they don't exploit the country like, say, the capitalist West does. China has and you notice every time the United States and Israel go after a country, it's always a country with a strong state sector. You know, like Iraq, like Syria, like Russia, like China. You see,
I hear you saying the a strong state sector, but what do you actually mean by that? Like.
Well, I mean, with the state side, maybe the oil companies are nationalized, where the main infrastructure is nationalized and not. In other words, I think what the United States and Israel want is total corporate control over the economy, where the multinational corporations run everything, and the state itself is very weak.
That's what I was told. I was told that essentially, you know, Iraq didn't have a Rothschild's banking system. They were Iran for the Iranians, and same with Libya. Muammar Gaddafi, he wasn't on a Rothschild banking system. He was actually going to start one of the first gold-based currencies. I think he was irrigating. I think he had some of the deepest wells dug into Africa. He essentially was going to irrigate large portions of Africa, turn it into some kind of agriculture, manufacturing, super whatever. And they don't want any of this. They don't want countries that are self-reliant, and apparently Iran is one of these countries too that has a lot of resources that they would like to tap, and they don't want Iran being self-sufficient. And I guess Syria is the last country they have to take out before they have to take out Bashar al-Assad before they can go after Iran. But the thing is Russia has military ties to Bashar al-Assad, like he has bases there and stuff like that. But once again, I wonder how much of this is just political theater, and really. I can't remember the gentleman's name. I should say gentleman. He's not a fucking gentleman. But the guy who essentially wrote all three world wars and the third one, I mean, he's pretty much got it down to a T right now. So.
Yeah, well, I think that we're really in the Third World War right now, because, I mean, I think it's being fought on the mental plane, on the spiritual plane. It may well fall, if we might have to fight on the material, but I don't know. But it's always a possibility that we can avoid it. I don't think there's going to be a nuclear war. I really don't, because, again, like I say, I think with the Internet.
I don't think there'll be a nuclear war either.
I'm
really skeptical about the whole nuclear bomb thing. I mean, I've seen all the documented footage. Like, if you look up all the documented footage of nuclear bombs testing, I mean, it's all really shoddy. It's about as reliable as the Wernher von Braun V2 rocket technology they're using to go to the International Space Station. I'm not saying nuclear bombs are fake. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying to what degree and how powerful they really are is up for speculation. I mean, a lot of Japanese nationalists, and they say that a lot of people believe in Japan that Hiroshima and Nagasaki wasn't, bombed to the way the Americans like to pretend it was, and that the Cold War between the Russians and the Americans were a big game of cat and mouse chicken, and that's what I don't know. I don't know, right? People, you start saying that, nuclear bombs aren't as powerful as we think they are, people will start laughing at you because, everyone believes that there's these, nuclear bombs that can destroy the Earth 1,000 times over, which I don't know. That's a great fear, right? Because the best thing these people have is fear. So if you're always kept in a state of fear and thinking that the next nuclear bomb can drop, I mean, that's in theory, that's great for them, I don't know about all that. I do believe what you're saying of spiritual war. That to me, that makes sense. But at the same time, I mean, we can't, factor out the real part of the physical essence of being here. I mean, good. Like, this is a dualistic reality, up and down, black and white, good and evil, God and Satan. That's the whole, set of our reality. But at the same time, I mean, there is a very physical element to it. I mean, we get up in the morning, you go to sleep at night, you need to drink and eat to stay alive. I mean, I don't know. I think that there will be some kind of third world war and what degree this happens. And like you said, that you think we're in the beginning of it. I'm not sure. I don't know. It's really up for debate and speculation in my mind.
Yeah, sure. Well, see, I think the thing is that we're coming into a new age. It's called the Age of Aquarius. And on December the 21st, 2012, that was the end of the Mayan calendar and the beginning of something new. So the whole planet is being transformed into the fifth dimension. It may sound crazy, but I think it's actually happening. The vibratory level of the planet is increasing. It's getting lighter and lighter and less dense, okay, all the time. I can feel it. I can just feel the general energy because I'm rather psychic anyway. So I think that, you know, and not only that, but I don't know if you've heard, like, David Icke, but I mean, I think he has makes. I think there are, the Jews are controlled by, the like, these reptilians and people like from
I don't know. My problem is as much as I want to believe that, like, honestly, as much as I want to believe that there's all this, you know, crazy stuff going on behind the scenes, for some reason, I think it's honestly easier to believe that things are a lot more simpler than we think than they are to, you know, start factoring in extraterrestrials and, you know, I mean, yeah, sure. I don't know. I guess I'm more like, where's the evidence? You know, you should.
Well, okay. Now, for a perfect example,
hey,
I
got another call coming
okay.
in. You know, we talked for a long time. Call me back. I'm going to be on the next wild card probably. I like talking to you. It's a very smart man for 73, but I'm going to take this next call, okay?
Okay, Chef. Thanks. I enjoyed talking. Thanks a lot, buddy. Take care.
Enjoy. Cheers.
Bye.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Barsky Benny?
Yeah, that's me.
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
I'm fine. I haven't really listened to the show. I talked to what's his name? Is it Kyle? With the I got on
yeah,
Skype.
Yeah, Kyle on Sunday. And,
he just told me that. No, he told me that your mail server is blocked or something, so I don't get any mails anymore when you got shows.
Oh yeah, that's not the time to talk about this right now. This what I'm doing is we're just talking about. You know, what's going on in the news right now, what's all taking place. So if you have anything to comment about, you know, Trump or Putin or anything like that, you're more than welcome. But, you know, that...
Yeah, I got... I think we need to be... I mean, do we have any doubt that they are expecting some kind of rebellion? They are expecting some kind of civil war? Are we... We agree that they are planning some kind of conflict, right, and chaos.
When you say we, are we talking about the Americans?
No, I mean the elite, or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, they are.
You know, they are expecting some kind of rebellion at some point, and you know they can feel this tension in the population. So they're making these candidates to make some kind of controlled opposition, and I think it's very important that we. Keep our heads cool, if you know what I mean, because if we get into some kind of rebellion or civil war or something, and they are controlling the opposition, I'm pretty sure we will lose.
I know. I think about this all the time. I really
so,
do.
I also think
that we do need to have some kind of reset. That. To a certain degree, we need to have some kind of conflict. See, this is where, once again, this gets to the same fundamental question. Yes, if they go to crash the system or start a civil war or whatever, we can name a bunch of different things they could do, whatever, holograms in the sky, who knows what they'll try. But if they cause some kind of chaos, right, they also have a lot of order, because their theory is order out of chaos, right? And if they start some serious chaos and they try to get some order out of it, there's a chance that we might get some order out of the chaos. So it's really up for debate. And I, once again, when you say that the controlled opposition of Putin and Trump, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that they're giving us a great illusion of you know these great white heroes that are you know out to help us. But I doubt that's the case. Anyway,
to continue with what you're saying. Yep. Yeah, but also Alex Jones is like trying to encourage people to make some kind of violent rebellion or something. And I think it's very important, even though we will sustain casualties and all that stuff, that we just, don't take any action and just wait until we absolutely 100% sure who the real opposition is, if you know what I mean. At that point, when we're 100% sure who the opposition is and we can trust that opposition, then I think it's very dangerous to start fighting, when you're not really sure if you can trust the guys. I heard all the militias in the United States are infiltrated, for example, you know.
Oh, sure.
So these guys can be led into an ambush and I don't think, I think people should just, even though you will get some people killed and there will be a lot of casualties among us, we should just keep our heads cool and just wait it out, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
I wouldn't say Alex Jones is trying to get this violent rebellion, but I don't see it. If anything, I think Alex Jones really saw.
They want us to get this war with the Muslims. Mossad.
For sure. No, in that
Mossad,
sense, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Mossad.
I can totally understand.
Mossad.
Paul Joseph Watson definitely trying to antagonize white people and get them, because I can see where this is going to go. You know, they're essentially going to try to get some kind of conflict going between Europeans and Muslims. But
definitely. Yeah, and now Mossad.
Yeah.
Mossad was behind the Paris attack, you know. And why are they doing that shit?
I'll tell you why. All the leaders were meeting in Paris, and they can't. There's a lot of French people. The French are a force to be reckoned with. Even here in Canada, where I'm from, in Quebec, I mean, if they go to put GMOs in anything, they will riot in the streets. If you go to put up student tuitions, they'll riot in the streets. I mean, the French are a little bit Looney Tunes, but in a good way. So all the political masterminds here, or whatever, not masterminds, but these political leaders of countries were all meeting in France, and right around the same time as these latest attacks, and essentially they declared martial law. So that I think that maybe they were worried about their security. So, and then it's a multifaceted thing. They also defense for more reasons than one.
But, I mean, you know what happened to Jörg Haider in Austria, for example, right?
No, I don't. I don't even know who that is.
Okay, Jörg Haider was chairman of the Freedom Party in Austria, and he also had some meetings with old veterans from the SS, and he was against immigration, and his party became very popular. And then he had a car accident at the highway where he was supposedly drunk, and he was driving too fast and died. It's like Princess Diana.
Oh, sure.
And
we see this time and time again. Right,
no, but,
now
people who knew him said that he was never drunk, and he never drove too fast on the highway and stuff like that. I mean, and
oh, I see what you're getting at.
Yeah, but it's the same with Ian Stewart. And also that, what was that reporter's name in the United States, where they can remote control your car and stuff.
Well, look at right now, this gene mapping vaccine that they came out with, all these holistic doctors,
all these right-wing politicians have had all these accidents the last 3-4 decades, and why suddenly are they doing terror in Paris to make the right wing grow in Europe? I mean, and they are... Many people have their websites blocked, and now suddenly their websites are not blocked, their YouTube movies are not blocked anymore. We can just talk freely about everything without getting censored anymore. So it's
like... what is that? I know, I've noticed that too. It's almost eerie. It's like the silence or the quiet before the storm, almost.
No, but they're trying to make the right wing very strong now. You know, they're trying to... because we cannot have a civil war if it's only the Muslims. You know what I mean? And then you got all these guys criticizing Muslims. So I think they're looking at some kind of opinion polls.
Ethnic conflict model.
Oh, they want
model.
It to
instead
be balanced.
Divide and conquer strategy.
Oh, they want it to be balanced, you know, so there will be a strong opposition to the Muslims also. So it will be like a very big war where we all kill each other, you know.
Yeah, exactly. An ethnic conflict model. I agree with you. And that's honestly how I sometimes when I hear myself talk, I'm like, I feel like I'm almost, it's exactly that. They are letting the right wing get popular again. And that's sometimes when I look at Trump, I mean, yeah, that's essentially what he is. He's getting the white patriots stirred up again.
Yeah, but they're allowing all this bullshit now. You know, they could easily, make this character assassination of many of these guys, and they are not doing it anymore. That's a reason for that, you know what I mean? And I think maybe we got even agents in the right wing trying to boost the right wing, you know? it's very scary.
It's really up for speculation. Yeah, it's up for speculation. I mean, it's hard to say. I know a lot of people that have been, you know, that have talked about Jews and stuff like that, and for years and years, it didn't even matter. They weren't, you know, monetizing their channels or anything like that. YouTube would just shut it down and remove their stuff, and they're saying the exact same thing you're saying right now. They're like, it's eerie almost how they're just allowing everything, and no one's getting, I don't know. I think you're right. I think that they want a strong white opposition. Because this is the end game, right? Why else would they be flooding all these non-whites into Europe, into our genetic homeland, unless they weren't going to start a conflict, right? I mean, that makes so much sense. They'll just sit back and watch us, you know, take each other out.
If there were no right-wing opposition or anything to the Muslim or the immigration, then the Muslim would just kill us all, and then we will just be taken over by the Muslim. They want us to, you know, be so devastated.
I get what you're saying.
Both the Muslims and the white people, you know, they were just killing each other completely, and then we're just completely devastated and very easy to take over afterwards.
I'm curious on how the Chinese will play into this, how other countries will play into this, the South Americans. They always say that, you know, because whites and Caucasians, Europeans have thrown up such a good resistance to this, you know, Zionist world nation or one world order or whatever, that we're the first on the pecking order to go. And, you know, I'm sure as much as they would like to just blend us out, mix us with anything, make this mongoloid race in Europe, at the same time, if they get the right wing to, you know, essentially become strong again, they can start a conflict and they don't have to wait for us to breed ourselves out. They can just sit back and watch us take each other out. Because, I mean, look at, like, Israel's got a wall around its whole country. I mean, they have genetic testing to see how pure of a Jew you are. Your homosexuality is banned. All these things that, you know, are forced in a white homeland are banned there. And nobody bats an eye. Nobody says anything. So it's like, and then we're fighting all these wars in the Middle East. We're essentially expanding greater Israel. I mean, it's fucking scary.
Yeah, what's it called? The Yoshi plan or something? I saw it on the other day. It's this plan for the greater Israel, where they make all these conflicts around Israel, making all the nations into smaller fragments and very weak. And that's exactly what's happening now, you know.
Yeah.
Iraq will be like three states or something, and it's like not a... Iraq was actually the biggest threat they had down there and the biggest concern. And I think the only independent nation down there which are not controlled in the entire world, which are not puppets, are actually Iran. I don't think Iran is controlled. And that's why
I don't
hate
think so
Iran
either.
So much. Huh?
I don't think they're controlled either. It's hard to say. I don't know. I know people that have gone to Iran before, and they say it's nothing like they portray it in the media, you know. Well, of course it's not, right? And that's probably why. No Rothschild banking system there, you know, strong nationalism there, good military, you know, economically speaking. I guess they say that the only reason why they want these nuclear power plants is to refine the oil, and they don't want them to be able to turn their oil, because it's not like Saudi oil where you can essentially pull it out of the ground and then you can almost put it in your vehicle. It's already refined. The Iranians, the oil is more thick. It needs to be refined into a gasoline, and they don't have the electricity to do it. And so their infrastructure can't do that. And the Russians were building nuclear power plants there. This is what apparently they don't want. And then, you know, them to get tied in, essentially Iran be able to produce oil for Russia and China. They start like this with the BRICS nation, and America just, you know, becomes nothing really. And I think that's what the project for the new American century was, the PNAC, you know, when they read that in 2000 and said that, you know, we would need a Pearl Harbor type of event to, you know, throw the Americans into a Middle Eastern war. And when, you know, what's his name said it all, Wesley Clark, the ex-NATO general, saying we're going to start with Iraq, Libya, Syria,
I know.
Iran. It's just, it's crazy. It's crazy.
No, but there's still some Aryan people in Iran. You know, that's where we came from, but they were invaded by the Arabs and a lot of race mixing. But there's still some blonde-haired, blue-eyed people in Iran. That was also
It's funny that you say that. Well, because I'm in Canada, and I live in one of the most multicultural areas in Canada. And so I go into all different kinds of manufacturing facilities, and I see all these different people, like, from all different parts of the world. And that's one thing that they always say. They say the real Aryans are in Iran, and they could be Pakistani, East Indian, Afghani. They could be. It's, I don't really take it for what it is, but they all seem to claim that for some reason. It's
weird. No. But there's also blonde-haired, blue-eyed people in Afghanistan and Syria. But ISIS.
Well, the Russians were at war for a long time, and I know that they bred with them.
Yeah, but ISIS is targeting the blonde-haired bloodline first prior. You know. So all these guys who are getting killed in Afghanistan and Syria is blonde-haired, blue-eyed people first prior.
Well, I think David Duke said something about that. There's actually a lot of European blood, essentially, in Syria. I think he said he went to Syria at one time a long time ago, and he said that there was a lot of European blood in Syria. And not so much European blood, but appearance. There was people that lived there.
No, but
and you see it when the footage gets leaked, you'll see the odd, you know, and I'm not trying to say that these people are anything close to looking European, but you will see the odd, you know, person with light hair and light eyes. I mean, if you're right, ISIS is going for these people.
I think there was, you know, originally white people living down there, the old Babylonians and all that. So there's like the remains of, you know, the white bloodline down there. So I saw this on television in Iraq. I saw this truck with refugees, you know, where the military is driving them away from the front or their village or something. And then I saw this red-haired girl with totally pale skin and blue eyes, and she, you know, so it's like, what is this girl doing down there? You know, so there's still some remains, you know. The Arab means mixed, so Arabs are all a mix of Mongols
it always makes me think of where the actual Aryans originated from. Like, I don't believe this out of Africa bullshit, that theory. I mean, it just doesn't hold any water. And really, I mean, I'm sure there's something different in the Y chromosome, and the Jews know this. There's something different about the Aryan race. You know, I'm Slavic, and, you know, I know people who are Slavic and blonde hair and blue eyes, and even still, they're different from your northern Scandinavian. But they've really weeded that out, that the good manly traits of Scandinavia too. I mean, the Swedes and the Finnish and all these, you know, they're just not the men that they used to. And I think that's all done by design, the feminization. And it's just, it's really sad. It's all really sad. And that's why people need to wake up and realize how real white genocide is and how we need to start doing things actively in real time, you know. Nothing over the top, but we just need to start having discussions. We need to raise awareness to an unprecedented rate, so people, you know, start doing.
You know, Radio 314 with Lama.
Yeah.
That's an old, I think it's 3 months ago. It's where with a Russian scientist where he talks about out of Africa myth, and you know, every time the scientist because they just, it's like everything now. Every time they claim something 1,000 times, they told me 1,000 times, so that it must be true. It's the same with the African myth, but there's no, it's not based on any scientific fact or anything that we originate from Africa. And this guy talks about all that stuff. Every time a scientist goes out and says it's not true, you know, their career is destroyed. And it's the same with the 6 million Jews. You know, you cannot claim we are not from Africa.
What are you, some kind of racist anti-Semite? No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, but it's like, and all the Africans, oh, we're the original human. And have you heard about this black people saying they are the real Hebrews now? And
oh, I know.
kind of
but,
shit now.
And it's so just funny. Ridiculous. It's so funny.
No, but they're just their IQ is so low, so they're just so easy to manipulate into believing all this bullshit, you know.
Well, and but white people need to realize it's a real slap in the face, because white people don't want to admit that, you know, a lot of people, especially in these Western countries, they've had, you know, all over the world now, white people have had their food and their water supplies been weaponized. They've had their IQs lowered and their immune systems have been damaged. And, you know, a lot, there is black people that have fallen through the cracks. And I mean, there is smart black people out there. I mean, just blanket statement say all black people are fucking stupid. I mean, that's a little bit of a stretch of the imagination too, but yeah, on average, definitely, you know, the actual brain centimeter per square is smaller. You know, they have lower impulse and stuff like that. I mean, there is definitely scientific evidence to support that. But to say that there is no smart ones, I mean, that can't be true.
Yeah, but I mean, I think 90% of all blacks in the United States got some white DNA in them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to say. But listen, buddy, I only scheduled this for an hour. I'm going to be the show's going to end here in a minute and 45 seconds. So I'm going to be taking a break. I'm going to talk to Kyle. He's the one who runs this whole thing. And I might be coming back on here in 15 minutes to half an hour. We're going to put a show back up probably. So if you want to call back then, I'd like to talk to you. More than welcome to call back.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
All right, buddy. Have a good one.
Yeah. You too. Stay strong.
All right, guys. So we're down to the last minute here. You guys are gonna have to forgive me. I'm not familiar with Blog Talk Radio. So I just was just clicking whatever to, you know, make this all work. But yeah, I'm gonna take a little break here and run it by Kyle and see if he wants me to, you know, do a longer show. And if that's the case, he doesn't mind, then I'll be back on in 15 minutes, a half an hour at the latest. All right, guys, cheers. Have a good one. This is Seth the Nemesis for filling in the wild card today. And we'll call this show Rescue Whitey. I don't know. How about Preparing Whitey? Yeah, Preparing Whitey. That's a good one. All right, cheers, guys.